Hallelujah. We're now live. Good to see you if you're joining us for the sermon and communion or joining us later in the week. The audio version of this won't be on until a few days till I finish my travels. Don't have time to do it this week. I'm away at 2 o'clock. But it will be on eventually. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you've spoken to us so clearly already this morning through the word, through testimony, through our worship, through that song. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you that you're speaking to us constantly. Thank you for that lesson. Well, for me anyway, Father, to listen and obey. Hallelujah. We thank you and we praise you for what you've said already. And we thank you and praise you that we're now about to move into your word. Look into these amazing truths that were literally breathed from you, Father. We thank you and we praise you and we speak our understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Awesome. I'm just going to switch this off while I remember so that it doesn't disturb me. Here we go. Amen. Awesome. Hallelujah. We are in week. Sorted. We are in week 5 of Simply Jesus. I'm not unknown to me. I'm going way off on tangent this week. Way off on tangent. Still Simply Jesus because it's about his healing power. But I've had things on my mind this week, and this sermon is kind of part teaching, part testimony, part thankfulness. But it'll be useful. Simply Jesus, I'm working my way through his life and ministry. I'm still going to do that, but I'm kind of jumping about a little bit this week. And I was sitting listening to Sean last week, and as Sean was preaching, I was listening, Sean, okay? I was listening, but as I was listening, a sermon was forming in my head. And I've been focusing on that all week. And it's been really relevant as it kind of coincided with a monthly event that I have, one of my other interests. More on that later. But let's read some scriptures to kind of show you where I'm coming from, where I'm setting this. I'll set the scene for today. So Mark 5:23 says, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, that's Jesus, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live. And if we go on after him being disturbed on the way, if we go on and read it, she is healed. She does live. And let's go to look at Luke 8. And I will cover this whole passage later, but Luke 8, verse 50 says, and when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Made whole. Fantastic. So zoed. And then 1 Thessalonians 5. Jumping about a little bit, Vicky, but I'm going to tie them all together. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Passages we all know about, passages we've all heard. I could have picked loads of others for the first two. Masses of verses about Jesus healing people. And quite often it's verses about him healing them. 50% of them? 75% of them? What's your favorite word? All. All of them. We know We've seen it in the scriptures. We know Jesus healed. And he still heals. Amen. But well, to be theologically correct, he has healed. To be theologically sound, he has provided healing through his finished work on the cross. So why did I talk about 1 Thessalonians 5:23? Well, that talks about us having three parts: spirit, soul, and body. We are tripart beings. We're made up of three bits. A little bit of revision. Our spirit, that's the part of us God sees, part of us God relates to. The part that was changed instantly when we were born again and is now righteous and holy and pure and perfect. And we know what our body is. It's this awesome piece of machinery. Look at those guns. And it's this physical bit. And it's that bit that we most often see healed. And when we think about healing, I would suggest 99.9% of us think it's about physical healing in our body. But then there's this bit, the soul. There's this bit called the soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. What's going on up in here? The mental part of us, the thinking bit of us. But you know what? This is also the bit of us that can get sick. This is also a bit of us that can be damaged, can cause us issues. And I want to discuss today that this is also the part that Jesus is providing healing for. Amen. Why am I teaching on this today? Folks, we have just come out of one pandemic, but we are in another one. We are in a pandemic, especially among men, of mental health issues and issues in mental well-being. Not just men, and not just out there, but everyone, in the church, in society. People are not well in their soul, not whole in their soul. And don't think you're immune. I don't want to speak out death over anyone. But don't think you're immune, because this can be a problem for the best of us. We see depression, we see stress, we see anxiety, we see rejection, we see sadness. All issues in the realm of mental well-being and mental health. And I believe Jesus provided healing for that too. Stuart touched on it this morning. It's sozo. All wrapped up in this word, sozo. Definition that I love in Strong's. Sozo means to save, to deliver or protect, to heal, to preserve, to save, to do well, to be whole. And it's that meaning, be whole, that I'm interested in today. Jesus at the cross provided for us to be made whole. To live a whole life. To live a life in abundance. Yes, physical health and physical healing, of course. But I believe also mental health and mental healing. Let's go to Luke 8:43. One of my favorite accounts of what Jesus did, has done for us, but did for this dear lady. Jesus 8:43. And a woman have an issue of blood 12 years. 12 years is a long time. A long time. I was thinking yesterday that come the start of July, I've been away from my previous secular job for 9 years. And that's a long time. This wifey's got another three. Sorry, I need to tone my language down. I try to be a little bit less Scottish next week. Where I'm going, Carol said, do they have translators? And I said, they speak English. But it was Carol said, do they speak Scottish? But do they have translators for Scottish? I don't know. So this lady had another 3 years. You know, if it was in relation to my 9 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanced. Her physical ailment, gone, just like that. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, the woman that had been completely healed physically, she came trembling and fell down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." You've been healed physically. Go in peace. I was looking at this account during the week and thinking, the way I saw this, I kind of saw that final statement of Jesus in a new light. And I saw her healing and potential life she could have in a whole new light. We see this woman in terrible pain and sickness. 12 years. It must have been terrible because she spent every penny she had on doctors. She was trying to get healed. She was trying to get rid of this physical sickness. So it was obviously horrendous for her. But I also believe she would have been in turmoil and pain and sickness in her mind. Frantic with worry. Concerned about what might happen to her. Terrible thoughts possibly running through her head. I mean, financial concerns. I don't know about you guys, but that's potentially the biggie in society now, that concerns, worries, and fears people have. Finances. I won't ask you to put your hands up, but she used all her money on doctors. And then now, fear of being caught. She shouldn't have been there. She shouldn't have touched Jesus. She was making them all unclean. If they'd caught her, they quite rightly, under the law, should have killed her. And not nice, stoned her. Sorry, every time I'm not going to go there. Every time, this brain of mine, hallelujah. And right at the start of this account, she's healed physically. Touched the hem, bam. Healed physically, absolutely. But has Jesus finished with her? No. Has Jesus got someone else to deal with? Possibly. She was physically healed. And Jesus says so. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Faith, your faith, sozoed you. But then he adds something. He says, go in peace. Now, I don't believe he's saying that. Just be a good girl. Don't cause a ruckus. Just head off home. Just be, you know, don't cause a scene. Let's have some peace on you go. No, no, no. He's saying, go in peace. I believe that to be peace in your mind. I believe he's saying, be healed in your soul too. And when I meditated upon this, because you know what I do is I read that and I meditate and I try and see it. Try and see what's going on. And I've meditated on this often. And I've just seen the woman going away. But yesterday, during the week, I saw her going away at peace. With a different countenance on her face. You know, like happy, joy, no fear, no concern. We can see that after she's healed, she's still in fear. She's still in turmoil in her mind. And he says, you've been healed. He could have said, you've been healed in your physical body. Now I want you to go away healed in your soul, in your mind, will, and emotions. I think that's what I'm seeing here. Yes, the physical pain, the sickness had gone, but so too was the fear, the worry, the mental anxiety. She'd been completely healed. She'd been made whole, absolutely sozoed. I just love that. Full healing in body and soul. And that's what I believe Jesus bought for us at the cross. And I believe it's what a lot of us don't have. We don't realize we can have. It's a deeper understanding of, I'm sure, I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up, but probably most people will agree when I say you're going to be healed. It's, you know, your pain goes away, your back pain goes away, whatever. But it's also up here. Jesus has provided full healing. But just as we need help sometimes with physical healing, you know, sometimes we need those prayers of agreement, people to lay hands on us, agree with us, help us to receive that healing. In our bodies, we need that help too, in our mind, will, and emotions. And that's what's missing in the church. And to be honest, that's what's missing in society. And this is when I was brought back to my favorite scriptures and favorite doctrines, because there is a solution in here. There is a solution to the issue in here. And it's Proverbs 23:7. Here he goes again. Yes, here I go again. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it, shall eat the fruit thereof. And Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that perfect and acceptable and perfect will of God. What we think, what we say, what we read is vital. We know that. This is not new. This is revision for us. What we think, what we say, what we read is vital. And that is influenced by those we have around us, who we allow to influence us. They affect what we think, affect what we say, affect what we do. And over recent years, in my experience, who we get to help us in this is vital. Who we talk to is vital. Who we surround ourselves with is vital. Now, I've spoken to you about this before. This is the kind of testimony, kind of bit. But I've been in dark places the last 3 or 4 years. And many of us have been. You know, life is hard. We have losses. And recent times especially have been hard. And mental health and mental well-being has suffered. But help is out there. Help is in here and out there, because we have biblical methods to follow, and we have each other. We have other people. Testimony, back in late 2019, well, this is 20, isn't it? I'm living in the past. Back in late 2021, I went to a counselor for some issues, and I put on here bordering on depression, because I don't like to say that. One of my major issues with my counselor was to talk about the D word, because I couldn't have that. I couldn't possibly be suffering from that. I'm the pastor, for goodness sake. I'm the head of the household, for goodness sake. I couldn't be suffering from the D word. But I went to the counselor and we spoke about it. And this counselor was a Christian. Deliberately went to her because she was a Christian. Now, she wasn't a Christian counselor. Don't confuse those terms. that there are many, many Christian counsellors and Christian counselling services out there, and I would advise you not to go to them. But this is not what my sermon is about today. Okay? This was a good, really good counsellor who was also a Christian. And we set out right at the start of our sessions rules and things we would stick to. And right at the start, we said, we will talk about the Lord. We will talk about the Bible. We will talk about faith in our sessions. And that helped me so much. Set my thinking back on the Word. To talk about things of the Word. To be encouraged by another person. Skilled in these areas of counseling to help me to think about things like that. And in a real sense, we were using Proverbs 23:7, Proverbs 18:21, and Romans 12:2 to improve my mental well-being and my mental health. And I started to talk to other people about this. Came back from Australia, and I talked to a fellow pastor who I knew would encourage, edify, and exhort me. And he did. But he also told me, I'm in the same boat, Vic. And then I spoke to a client who's now a really good friend who I knew would encourage me. And he did. And he said, well, it's great to hear that, Vic, but I've been suffering from the same. I told a buddy who I stand with at the football how I knew would empathize with me. And he did. I remember speaking to you guys, told the church, because I knew what Hebrews 10:24 said. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Now, I know this can be hard. I find that especially hard, and especially hard to my nearest and dearest, which is ridiculous. But I remember at the time, I couldn't speak to Nancy about it. I had to write her a letter. Because we don't speak to our nearest and dearest, do we, about these things? So I wrote them down because it was too hard to speak out. But in my view, writing things down and getting someone to read it is like death and life in the power of the tongue. Now, you might disagree with me, but I think it is. It's like you're almost speaking it out when you write it and someone reads it. So that holds in that context. And it was all about talking to people. Now, we all know the saying, it's good to talk. That's partly true. It's good to talk if it's encouraging. It's good to talk if it's positive. It's good to talk if it's edifying. It's good to talk if it's exhorting. It's good to talk if you're building up instead of tearing down. It's good to talk if you're using words of empathy and understanding. And I've discovered that more and more this last year by working with a charity called Men Who. I don't know if any of you have heard of that, but we organise what's called talking circles where men meet and sit in a circle and talk. It's strange, that's what a talking circle is. And it has a structure, it has a format, it's really important. We start off by saying how we're feeling. Then we discuss a topic of the night. Now this is a good bit. We always finish when everyone has to speak out three things they're grateful for. And that part, speaking out your gratitude, is vital because death and life are in the power of the tongue. Speaking out gratitude is good for us. Science in the secular world is catching up on the Bible. I read a scientific paper yesterday from the American Psychological, someone like that, and it said, in positive psychology research, gratitude is strongly and consistently associated with greater happiness. Gratitude helps people feel more positive emotions, relish good experiences, improve their health, deal with adversity, and build strong relationships. Anybody want some of that? Be grateful. Have gratitude. Do you know why that statement is true? Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's a biblical model, that. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Being grateful is speaking out life. Mumping and moaning is speaking out death. You know, being grateful for half a glass of whatever, half a glass full, is speaking out gratitude. It's speaking out life. Speaking out that the glass is half empty is death. We can all speak out. Every single one of us can speak out gratitude today because we're sitting on this seat and breathing. The loads of people we know who aren't. We're living. We've got life. Kind of an aside. Did I talk about this now? But it is something to be grateful for. I was listening to I think it was Jordan Peterson, and they were on a podcast, and they were speaking about death and grief and mourning and all that. And Jordan Peterson says, well, if you think in a certain way, think about death. Death is quite positive. And then he paused. And you think, death? And speaking about your own one, speaking about death is positive. And he said, because if you die, you have lived. And to live is a privilege. To live is wonderful. To live is fantastic. So I think we can be grateful just that our bum's on the seat this morning. And not, as my mate Woody says, I'm not under the grass yet. Still above the grass. You're still breathing. Hey, and we're not even started thinking about forgiveness, righteousness, holiness, which you've all got. There's someone else to be grateful for. Being grateful is speaking out life. Being positive is speaking out life. Saying something encouraging, edifying, exhorting is speaking out life. Guys, surround yourself with people who speak out life. Speak out encouragement. Don't surround yourself with negativity and grief and miserableness. Misery. Thank you, Evelyn. Thank you, Evelyn. I haven't got mumbles here to keep my grammar in check, so you can do, Evelyn. What a difference that makes. And for you, speak out life. Speak out life over yourself. Speak out life over your family. I've preached on this before. It's kind of, what's the words you say? And I have to preach this to myself every now and again. Nancy reminds me. What's the words you're speaking out over yourself? It's funny, we were at a Kaylee last night and I hurt myself. Not unusual to hurt yourself at a Kaylee. You know, when you don't do much dancing and you suddenly, whoa, it's a dashing white sergeant. Hey, off you go. So I hurt my Achilles tendon just at the back. And so I was driving home. And I go, oh, I put in the clutch. Oh, that's sore. Oh, that's sore. And Nancy said, will you stop that? Speak out that it's fine. Because I often get these attacks when I'm about to head off on an important business trip. And it's like, I've pulled calves, I've been sick, I've done this, I've done that before I get on a plane, and it's just ridiculous. So I'm not having it. So we're driving home, and I put in the clutch, and I go, ooh. And Nancy's saying, what's that? And I said, this ankle is not sore. I'm not hurting myself every time I push the clutch in. Woke up this morning. Fine. Now, if I'd probably driven home on my own, the whole way home, it would have been, oh, my poor ankle. Oh. No. There's somebody there who encourages me not to speak in that way. And it's fine. And I'm going to go away and I'm going to catch the train. I'm going to catch the plane. It's going to be great. I'm going to have a great trip. Hallelujah. What a difference it makes. Now, what I've been preaching here, I've preached this before. I was in the dark places. I knew it while I was in the dark places. But I needed somebody to remind me about it. And we all need that sometimes. As this dear counselor was speaking out to me things from the Word, I was sitting there thinking, that's what I would say. You know, if I was sitting up with you, Evelyn, and you were where I was, I'd be saying exactly the same things that my counselor was saying. But I needed that. Because Psalm 103, verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul," and this bit, "and forget not all his benefits." Why is that in there? Because we forget all the benefits. And we need each other to remind ourselves. I've been in ministry with people before when they'd say something negative, and I'd say, "But remember that time you did this? And remember that time you did that?" "Oh yeah, I did, didn't I? Oh yeah, I have got through this kind of thing before. Oh, I have overcome this already." And I could hear the counselor saying things that I would say, and I was reminded about it. Because we all forget about things when our head's not in a good place. We all do it. That's why it's Psalm 103, 1 and 2 is there. If we didn't forget all his benefits, God wouldn't have told us, "Don't forget all my benefits." Don't think none of us are immune to it, even the best of us. Best of us get it. We all need others around us to get through this life. I've preached on this before. We are not designed to get through this life on our own. We're not made that way. We need others around us to get through life and to thrive. Yes, we need salvation, we need the Word, we need the Holy Spirit. I get that, but we need other people. That's why I just don't get the hermit thing. You know, people say it's godly to go into isolation and whatever, to just be with the Lord. I don't get that when we're told to go out and make disciples and we're told to feed the orphans and go and visit people in prison. You know, all that. I don't get. The Bible to me is we're created for relationship. Created for relationship initially with God the Father. I get that. But with other people too. We are relational beings. We are sharing beings. Let me just kind of sum up. Luke 8:48 again. "And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." I love that. Go in peace. This is what Jesus has provided for every single one of us at the cross. The provision is there. To have peace in our mind, will, and emotions. To have good mental well-being, good mental health, free from anxiety, free from stress, free from depression. But like physical health and physical healing, it's not automatic. It isn't your spirit. Trust in you, Jesus. Bam. Spirit, perfect for eternity. But like physical health and healing, it's not automatic. It's not automatic in your mind and your soul. I tell you, my physical health and my physical fitness and well-being, miraculously, absolutely, you're never going to believe this. You won't believe this when I tell you. But it's been miraculously improved since I lost weight and go to the gym. It's like night and day. I couldn't believe it myself when I realized it. But I am feel so much better in my body since I lost weight and I go to the gym regularly. It's amazing. Taking exercise, hallelujah, improves you. We all know that. We all know that would be true. If every single one of us lost weight and went to the gym 4 times a week, our bodies would be in a much better state. Nobody's looking at me. Nobody's making any eye contact. Oh, yeah. We all know that. Of course, we all know that be true. Well, the same is true for our mental well-being and our mental health. I've seen my mental well-being, my mental health, been better since I've spoke more to people who encourage the counsellor, men, who, that kind of thing, I'd like to think I'm better at speaking about things like this with my nearest and dearest. We need to exercise our mind, will and emotion, as well as our bodies. And if you take nothing else from today, just take this: being grateful is a start. Being grateful for what we've got is a start. Now, that's not about what some Christian teachers teach in, oh, I'm so grateful for what I've got, I don't want any more. I don't need any more. Oh, I'm so humble, I don't need much money. No, I want loads of money, masses of money. I want to give unto all good works. Hallelujah. So being grateful is a start. Surrounding yourself with encouragers is a start. Thinking appropriately and in line with the word of God is good for us. Speaking out his word and his truths is good for us. Now, it says so in here, but if you want to, that's what science is telling us. Caroline Leaf, we all studied Caroline Leaf for a while, or some of us did. That, the science behind that is amazing, but it's all biblical based. Speaking out his word and his truths is good for us. I'm going to do a Sean here and just rip through some scriptures. But speaking out his word and his truth is good for us. Speaking out Hebrews 13:5 that he'll never leave us nor forsake us is good for us. Speaking out Isaiah 43:1 that he created you and has called you and knows you by name is good for you. Speaking out Psalm 34:17 that you have cried and he's heard it and delivered you from your troubles is good for you. Speaking out Philippians 4:6 that you need to be anxious for nothing is good for you. Speaking out 2 Timothy 1:7 that you don't have a spirit of fear, but that you have a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind is good for you. All that will lead to you renewing your mind and seeing a transformation in your mental health, mental well-being for the better. Amen. Hallelujah.